Hey everyone, welcome to episode 96 of the Blown Rock Sports Show. We're inching slowly but surely to 100. And if you're on your couch, be careful, because when we get to 100, it's going to be like...
Knock your socks off.
Your socks are going to get knocked off. You're going to fall off your couch. Just get ready for episode 100. It's going to be like the best ever.
Yeah, we're thinking of five... parts. What that means is that we're gonna have quite a few interviews,
yeah,
like we've done in the past, and on top of that, some extra special content material planned. So
yeah,
have to tune in for that.
Stay tuned for new guests, old favorites, much more
to celebrate this milestone. And back to 96, we will discuss the Fire FC Red Stars recaps as they had their matches on the road and at home.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll discuss the Fire's awesome match against Sporting Kansas City at Soldier Field.
Second game at home.
Second home game. And let's be honest, far better, but we don't want to spoil it, but far better in the first one. And then...
improvements, small improvements.
We'll talk about the Red Stars Challenge Cup opener on the road against the Houston Dash.
Oh, yes. I have the favorite.
And we're also going to discuss the Cubs 2022 season preview and the Chicago White Sox 2022 season preview. Both teams have got some new faces, lost some current players. There's a lot of hope for the Sox, especially. A lot of people thinking Sox got to win at least one playoff round this year. Cubs, we'll see. But Sox, a lot of pressure on the Sox to be great this year.
That's right. And also, lastly, we will bring back the segment where we spotlight a legendary athlete. And we're continuing with our NBA focus. And we will be having two NBA legends that are under the radar, not talked about really, similar to our very first Muggsy Bogues. We're going to continue off to make good from February. We're going to do two this time.
Do you want me to say them now or wait till we get to it?
We'll get to it.
All right. So stay tuned for these upcoming segments on episode 96 of the Blown Rock Sports Show. Get ready for an awesome episode, baby. It's time for our Chicago Fire recap of our match versus Sporting Kansas City here on Blown Rock Sports Show, episode 96. Let's get into our thoughts of the match right now.
We begin with the starting lineup. We will, we must say that we're back for at home and facing Sporting Kansas City in our second home match. We weren't present for this one yet. We are proud to say that we had a good run once again, another solid matchup. And so first, Kansas City's starting 11. First at goal, we have... let's see, give me a second here. Yes, we have Tim Melia. Defenders, we have forward, Fontes and Izzy Matiz. This one's tough to say.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it either. I've watched the game and I don't know how to say it.
Yes, this is Issamat Marin.
There we go.
And then onto midfielders, we have Ben Sweat.
Woohoo!
And then Felipe Hernandez. And then Remy Walter. Roger Espinoza. And Graham Zusi. And then forwards, they got, Cameron Duke and their head forward, Nikola Vucinovic.
Not Nikola Vucinovic of the Bulls, but a different one.
Rupees, yeah, same initials.
Right.
And all. So, yeah, not so dramatic. And honestly, like, this looks like a brand new team to me, since I'm not too familiar.
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with Sporting Kansas City.
You only know
Ivor, besides, like, Roger Espinoza, Johnny Russell, Tim Melio, that's really it. But,
right.
From what I know about them, they are well coached, and for the past years have been a solid squad. You can always pencil in, kind of like the Spurs, you can pencil in Kansas City to make the playoffs. They're usually a consistent squad.
Right.
But according to Tyre Terrence and Tony Mola, Sporting Kansas City is missing a number of key players right now due to injury. So they were down a number of key starters entering this match, but they still tried to give it their all. And so far they've gotten off to a slow start. So, at least for their standards compared to normal. Okay, so now to the Fire starting 11.
Oops. There you go.
First, in goal, 4-star of the year, number one, Gaga Sonina.
Yeah, the gentleman.
Yeah. Now for defense, we have number 6, Miguel Navarro. Number 5, Rafa Chijos, the captain. Number 20, Wyatt Osberg. Number 2, Boris Sekulic. Now, midfielders, we have number 30, Gaston Jimenez. Number 22, Mauricio Pineda. Number 21, Fabian Herbers. Number 10, Jirdan Shaqiri. Number 99, Stanislav Ivanov. And finally, striker number 11, Kasper Sabulko. That is our starting 11, led by manager Ezra Hendrickson.
Yeah, off air we're discussing about who's been scoring lately, and we've seen that it's been the midfielders taking the load, and now we can say that it's quite the opposite with Kasper.
Yes, Kasper Sabulko
stepping it up and becoming the striker we've hoped for, that we've been anticipating, although Shaqiri has been the one that everyone's been eyeing for. Everyone's been chanting his name since the home opener, even before home opener going in, as if
even he was
already
arrived.
One of our own, especially since he's so well known around the world, as we have said in last episodes. So the hype is almost real,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't feel real right now that we've seen Kasper step it up and become what we've hoped for. And once again, I'm sure giving us and Soldier Field what they've wanted. And let's get into what has occurred here at home for the second home matchup for the Fire FC.
Yes. So first, the first goal of the match for the Fire, about the 30-minute mark. This was a good opportunity by Kasper Sabulko. Also, I can't beat around the bush. This was some poor defending and poor goalkeeping.
That's right.
By Tim Melia. Melia misjudged and mistimed Kasper's opportunity. And Kasper basically kind of a floater goal. He floated it past Melia. And Melia was unable to stop it because it rolled under his legs and thighs to go into the net to give Fire a 1-0 lead. But I'll take it. I don't care what kind of goal it is. Goal is a goal.
That's correct.
Kasper's first goal of the season for the Fire. So good job, Kasper, getting it off the best snide, getting on goal there to give us the 1-0 lead. And after that, there was a goal for the Fire, but we were able to get one in the 50th minute, a little bit after halftime, when a penalty opportunity arised. So there was a penalty opportunity given to the Fire after some mistakes by Kansas City. And they mentioned on the broadcast, this was probably the first year in years for the Fire where there was no debate, there was no who was going to take the penalty kick opportunity. Everyone in the arena, everyone on both teams knew it was going to be Jaren Shaqiri. He was going to take the penalty kick. And Shaqiri, after some heavy breathing, centering himself, making sure he was going to get this one to give them a 2-0 lead. Shaqiri, brilliant. One time, right-footed touch, pass to Melia. There's nothing Melia could do because Shaqiri aimed for the right corner. And Melia, in a sense, did dive, but there was no way he's going to get it. So it was now a 2-0 Fire lead after 50 minutes. So good job by Shaqiri to get on the board. And I want to give a lot of credit to the defense at this point. Gaston Jimenez so far this year has been fantastic.
That's right.
He's living up to his DP spot. And newcomer Rafa Chijos has been unbelievable. He has pretty much electrified all of our defensemen. He's been a great coach, leader. His experience has become invaluable to the squad. He's been able to make players like Wyatt Omsberg, Gaston Jimenez, Boris Sekulic, Miguel Navarro play far better than what could have been expected of them. And I'm very proud of especially Wyatt Omsberg so far this year. A lot of people were talking about that Wyatt was going to be out of the MLS. But so far he's been one of the greatest players on the team after four games. So I want to give him a lot of praise. And they played well. And there was only really, after 50 minutes, one opportunity that Kansas City even had. If that, their offense was dead on arrival, looked very poor. And they only got like one shot even on net. And that was like at the end of the game. Their offense was gone. So the only way Kansas City was going to even keep in this one was to play defensively. We're going to get to their only goal of the match for Kansas City, which was in the 56th minute. And this was a very impressive one. I want to give credit to both players involved. So Hernandez and Kansas City attack was rushing towards the net. And Hernandez had a brilliant pass. No-look pass to Roger Espinoza. Roger Espinoza completely fooled Gaga. And brilliant touch by Espinoza to make it 2-1 Fire after 56 minutes. And, of course, I want to say, well, the defense allowed a goal. But, of course, we're going to allow a goal. No one allows zero goals every game of the year. That's insane.
Right.
But only one goal allowed is good opportunity. Good job by defense. And Gaga and his one save opportunity. So it was 2-1 after 56 minutes. And the last goal of the match was in the 82nd minute. This was by Kasper Sabilko again for his second goal of the match. And this was a nice one too. Also a mistake by Timelia. He had some breakdowns, but we'll take it. And that goal was assisted by Brian Gutierrez and Shaqiri. I want to give a lot of credit to Brian Gutierrez. He came off the bench late, and Goody found Kasper, and Kasper put it in the net. 3-1 lead, 3-1 win. And the big players who want to give shout-outs who were most impressive, 2 goals for Kasper Sabilko, one goal and two assists for Shaqiri. Fantastic defense by Rafa Chios and Juan Osberg. So those are the 4 guys that I want to give the most credit. And Gaston Amanez, too. He was excellent. Those are the 5 guys I want to give the most credit to. If you made me choose a player of the game, I'm probably going to go with Kasper Sabilko just for his 2 goals.
Oh, that's for sure.
I'll go with him as player of the game.
He has a story of this matchup. And didn't want to get sidetracked, but yeah, that is very impressive. Like I said, it's what we've been hoping for out of Kasper and this new fire starting 11. We knew for sure that he was going to make an impact. It was just a matter of when, and he showed it last Saturday. I will say that also I was in the city at the time. I did walk by as I was going to the tour that I was going to on the way to the hotel for a workshop. I saw a I don't know if it's friends or like a group family. They were basically, well, let's just be honest, anyone who goes in a group to a Fire FC game live, they're family, right? So they were walking past me in the gear super early. Shows you how dedicated the Chicago Fire FC fans are. And so they, you know, were gearing up for this. And, you know, I believe by virtue almost sparking this, you know, happening, despite, because the weather wasn't ideal. I know it was pouring throughout the day. I know for soccer, like, that is fine. But we'll definitely take that over snow. I know there's some slip-ups for that. But I guess it worked to our advantage, and we're able to pull out this victory. And as of yesterday, in the Eastern Conference, we were in second place. So very impressive. We climbed the ranks. I was also saying off air that I never thought we'd see the day that we would be in second place and in the top three.
No way.
Well, top five. We have not reached those ranks. If anything, the closest we become is within, like, in fifth place, which is usually like a 3-way tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely climbing the rankings as of this weekend.
Yes, the Fire are in third place in the Eastern Conference right now.
Undefeated.
8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws. Way to go, Chicago Fire. We have looked great so far in our 4 matches. And right now, best team so far, gotta be Philadelphia Union, who are first, 10 FC. Points. They've been very good. And Columbus has been very good as well. So good job, Fire. And our upcoming match this week, there is not one. We have, like, the CONCACAF stuff going on, so the Fire will not be playing. But the week after that, the Fire will be at Soldier Field, taking on FC Dallas.
Now, that is next Saturday?
The Saturday after this Saturday, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, what the 2nd, April 2nd, I believe.
Once again.
Yeah.
Scheduling on, which happens to be WrestleMania,
I know, for
weekend.
Yeah. For some reason, there's like 20 events where we've been talking about. They're all like April 2nd. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. We include the Red Stars.
Heat, Red Star, or a bowl of Red Stars, Fire.
Right.
Everything's going on in a second.
Yeah.
It's the big day.
Sure it is. And That would be horrific if, because we know this hasn't happened, Super Bowl, you know, being as late as this year, coinciding with any other major event.
Oh, and also, such as Mania. Forget one last one. It's also the same weekend as my church's, like,
communion or
general conference. It's like some huge event. So all huge events April 2nd. For
that's
some reason.
Incredible. Yeah, so
I don't know
we know what we'll be doing, right? I mean, we leave it out there to, but I know that since the Challenge Cup's going on, I know we have to go to at least one
of those matches, yeah.
And so that could be the game to go to. Ironically, it's one of the games to go to because, second favorite team, Houston Dash.
Yeah, that's fun. Go to them.
Our opponents, so that will be a reason to prioritize it above and also keep some space because it's obviously been so long since we've been to Fire. No, it's been so long since we've been to the Red Stars too, so of course you want to change things up and be able to go to that.
Well,
otherwise we'll see you at Watch Party, which is to be organized for WrestleMania. So yeah, a lot of coincidence events going on that weekend. Of course, we're focused on the now. And so, anything else to talk about for this week, MLS-wise?
No, just keep in mind, Fire have been very impressive. And some teams have been very good so far in MLS, some not so much, but I'm glad to say that the Fire have been not one of those bottom basement dwellers, which you could have said that as a possibility.
True.
In the past. So stay tuned for more coverage shortly.
Welcome back to the show. We have your Red Stars talk. It's time to dive into the matchup of the week in the 2022 NWSL Challenge Cup. The Chicago Red Stars face-to-face against the Houston Dash. So we're going to begin with the starting 11 and begin with the Red Stars. At goal, Alyssa Nair. Defenders, Tatum, Molasso, Tierna Davidson. And starting for the first time this year, at least, recent memory, Zoe Morse. Then, Aaron Wright. And she is back once again.
Woo-hoo!
One of the rare times has come in. Bianca St. George.
Yes.
Onto the midfield.
Finally.
Vanessa DiBernardo. Danielle Danny Colaprico. And that rounds it out. Onto the forwards, we begin with Mallory Pugh. And starting for the first time in recent history, Ella Stevens. And finally, she is making her return. She is coming off of the trade from the Racing Louisville. Everyone, welcome back, Yuki Nagasato. So that's your starting 11 for your Chicago Red Stars. Notably missing is Kalia Ohai, which she, against the former team. She is out at the moment.
And Morgan Bryan too.
Yep, that's right. International duty, if you will. Others of note is Sarah Griffith. She's an attacker. Alyssa Motts at midfield. Emily Boyd for GK. And Shannon Foster in midfield.
All right. Now time for your Houston Dash's starting 11. In goal, we have Jane.
That makes it easier.
Campbell. One of the best GKs in the league.
See that? Plenty of clean sheets.
Yep. Defense. We have Haley Hansen. Former Red Star, Katie Naughton. 2020 Challenge Cup hero, Sophie Schmidt. And one of the most reliable defenders in the league, Alyssa Chapman. Now in midfielders. Oh, sorry. I want to give one criticism of the NWCL.com. It is kind of hard to
distinguish
between the positions because they have it all over the place. So the real defenders that played was... We did discuss Alyssa Chapman, Katie Naughton, and...
Right.
I don't know.
And, yeah, there's
actually... I guess that's with the defenders.
Someone missing on there. There's someone blank on there as well.
Oh, well, we'll just, but yeah, we'll just continue.
Continue.
Midfielders, Marissa Vigiano, Kelsey Lee Hedge, who must be new because she's wearing the Olorian jersey.
That's right.
We have Shea Groom, one of the most important players on the whole entire squad. And
on to your...
That's it. So now attackers, we have Nichelle Prince, who very skilled. And finally, best...
Oh, before. Oh,
who?
Don't forget, she is most recent. She came from the Feminine MX, former Red Star, Maria
Sanchez.
That's right.
For some reason, she's not on here, but she did play. So
yeah,
we watched the game.
That's
she
part
played.
Of the missing graphic. Right
she
here
played
in this lineup right here. So yeah, and finally,
best player on the team, my favorite player in all NWSL. Met her on a with TG Bennett Bowl on a Zoom call.
That's
Rachel
right.
Daly.
That's right. That's the connection right there. And credit to the Dash for starting all this. They were the, as a reminder, 2020 Challenge Cup champions. So them coming back hungry. For another one, so they definitely have a lot of talent, and you know, we have a smaller roster due to some going to international duty or being out.
Yeah.
For the moment.
So now to the action. Bless you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So it was a really, really. Let's just say, well defended first few in the first half. And yeah, we're going for some shots. And yeah, a lot of free kicks to be had. They were playing like a rough matchup to begin.
Yeah.
But then came 18th minutes. Finally.
I guess I'll
starting
take this one,
but actually, finally playing, let alone starting, Bianca St. George's. She earned a yellow card.
We even asked her this when we saw her one of the recent games. We're like, "Well, when will you come into play?" And she's like, "Hopefully soon."
Yeah, that's right. That's what she's thinking too. Yeah.
But she started this one, so that's good.
Yeah, it's a good sign.
But not a good sign was her yellow card foul.
Yeah.
Which led to a good set piece corner for the Dash. Former Red Star Katie Naughton had a good opportunity, good shot, passed Lissonnier to give the Dash a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, 19th minute. And Daly was offsides for a goal attempt.
Yeah.
With Hansen. So that led to another opportunity, this time for the Red Stars.
Yes, this was a Mal Pugh opportunity.
27th minute.
And this one, there was nothing to be alarmed about. It was an easy, swift kick by Mal Pugh to tie up at one.
Yeah, she tricked him into. It's one of those sharp corner goals that went right in. So amazing. And then yellow card issued to Zoe Morse at the 47th in stoppage time. The bad foul. And that was your first half, 1-1. And on to the remainder. We really, let's just say we were really into it. Also credit to Jane Campbell as well going into this. And once again, returning for us, Lissa Nayer has been a long time. This is her first start in a long time. She's back to where she belongs. And with that, we go on to the other side, the second half, 58th minute.
Yes, this was an opportunity for either a penalty, and from what we could tell, it was a handball, we believe, in the penalty area. And it was given to Sochi Schmidt, committed the penalty, given to Aaron Wright, the penalty kick opportunity. And she easily converted it with a corner shot past Jane Campbell. Jane Campbell dived, but she couldn't get it.
That's right. It's kind of shades up what happened earlier, which shouldn't have went in with the first overall goal going to the Dash. Lissa Nayer originally had swatted the ball out, but she left it open, and eventually it wasn't going to be Katie's goal. It was going to be one of their Dash's goal. But Katie was there at the right opportunity, and she got one on us. I feel like we've seen that sort of thing before with Alyssa there, where she saved it and then kept it open. And so yeah, opportunity right there. And yeah, capitalize on that as we did. 2 minutes later, the Red Stars once again.
Yep. Final goal of the game. The Dash, huge mistake after Marie Sanchez offsides call.
How ironic.
They turned it over, and Mallory Pugh, after a good pass from Danny Calaprico, shot it from, like, this was far out, like a far out kick.
Oh, yeah.
Way far to the right top corner, and Jake Campbell had no help. She couldn't do anything.
Yeah, once again, thanks to assist from Colaprico. So,
and that was it. 3-1 win by the Red Stars.
Yeah, that's right. Round up a Sally with the yellow card, 65th. And after substitutions, Maria Sanchez continue on the attack, but it was blocked and then saved. Well done, Lissonnier. She came back from that earlier first half mistake. Sophie Schmidt with the yellow card, so they're still fighting in the 80th minutes, and that right there did it at PNC Stadium. 3-1 victory in the first overall matchup between these two. So Red Stars starting off really well. Big difference maker from a year ago overall. We said it with the Challenge Cup tournament as well as the regular season. So, yeah, we cannot wait to see them debut. A lot of firsts this year, being that they will be playing on Channel 26, the U, WCIU, for those who remember. They'll be playing some local games on here as well as on Telemundo Chicago as well. We'll look out for that. Making it a bigger deal. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more other fun opportunities as well, such as us returning to Toyota Park to witness them play during at least one more Challenge Cup home matchup. I know there's one, they're going to face off once again against the Dash on April 2nd, next Saturday. And also, what else to note? I believe that's what I got for now. Just excited to see them out there and be able to see them live again. I know we're gonna for us to attend more home yep. games for them, right?
For sure. Thank you, and stay tuned for our Chicago Cubs talk next.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our very special 2022 Chicago Cubbies season preview. Oh boy, this is going to be a fantastic ride here for the Bull and Hawk Sports Show. Let's get into it right now. So the Chicago Cubbies have made some drastic and team-altering changes in the past year and months. We've seen the departure of longtime fan favorite Anthony Rizzo, former MVP, looked to be face of the franchise, Chris Bryant. John Lester has retired and sailed into the sunset, beloved member of the team. Jake Arrieta has left for the second time. And also, another face of the franchise, Javier Baez, moved to be a Detroit Tiger. So we've lost a lot of big names and guys who were part of that Cubbies core for a number of years. And now we have a whole new team. Some still veterans are still on the team. Some of the guys who have been there through our playoff run in 2015 for our World Series win. And now the rebuilding years are still there, which will we get into soon. So how this is going to go is I wanted to break down the main returning hitters from the 2021 season and go over how our pitching rotation is going to look based on injuries right now and the signings and trades we have conducted. And I also want to talk about the biggest acquisitions we have made during the offseason, which there are two, and one included is a huge acquisition for our team. So first, I'm going to go over the main returning hitters. Let's get to that now. So the main returning hitters, and when I say main, I mean who last year had a number of appearances at the plate, and this year look to play some sort of big role in the success of the club. So I don't want to talk about a guy who had one at-bat last year and is projected to have two at-bats this year. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a guy who's going to play a big role, and if healthy and is able to have his success at the plate, can help us perform at least third place finish. That's what I'm trying to hope for. Third place finish this year. Not projecting playoff push, not projecting a division win, but as long as we don't finish fifth, which I don't think we will, because the Pirates and Reds are both heavily rebuilding and both are not good whatsoever. So I think we could perform better than the Reds and Pirates. The Cardinals, hard to tell. Oftentimes, even with a not that sexy team, they lose, you can finish second or third in the division. And the Brewers are projected to win the division. So I think at this point, probably Brewers, based on my gut, will win the division. And then Cubs, Cards, second and third, and then the Pirates, Reds, bringing up the rear. So for our main hitters, last year, Ian Happ, who's been with the team for a number of years, played in 148 games with 25 home runs, 66 RBI, and he batted with a 226 batting average. So Ian Happ is going to be patrolling the outfield. He is inconsistent. He does get on base, and he can hit for power in Wrigley and on the road. He will be looked at to be one of our more important run producers. If he can get his average up from 226 to at least 250, I would be more comfortable with that. And it's hard to tell and judge with Ian Happ, but as long as he can maybe get to 250 and continue along with those kind of average numbers, it would be all right. Next, we have Patrick Wisdom. He batted in 106 games last year. He hit 28 home runs, 61 RBI, with a 231 average. So Patrick Wisdom, he's going to be at third base, manning the hot corner. And he hit power last year. His average, very poor, just like Ian Happ. But he did hit for power. And Patrick Wisdom's defense is adequate. So as long as he can continue to hit those sort of numbers and play reliable defense, he'll help our cause. Next, we have probably, at this point, the best hitter who we've seen on the team, who's left, and that is Wilson Contreras, our catcher. Very pertinent to the team. To be honest, I thought there was a possibility he'd be traded because he has a lot of trade value, and if the team's looking to finish average and cut down on salary, it could make sense to trade Wilson Contreras because he's going to have to be re-signed to a new deal. So are they going to keep him? We'll see. Depending on the Cubs' fortunes, maybe he'll be gone by the trade deadline in July. But at this point, he is the starting backstop. He's here to stay for now. So last year he batted 128 games, 21 homers, 57 RBI, with 251 average. And Wilson Contreras has a lot of power. He's a good defensive catcher, strong arm, does a good job with the rotation and the bullpen. I've always liked Wilson Contreras. And with all these Cubs leaving, he's becoming now close to one of my favorites on the squad. And we'll see what he can do, but I'm confident he can be good this year, hopefully. Next, at first base, we have, coming back, Frank Swindell, the man of the mystery, the man I never heard of ever before, the man who made a name for himself off the minor leagues. Frank Swindell, with 13 home runs, 40 RBI, 342 average. So in limited plate appearances of 56 games, he had a fantastic batting average, 342, and he had some power run scoring potential. And with no one else in competition for first base, Frank Swindell will be the man at first. And if he can have consistent numbers, not 342, that's unrealistic. But if he can hit maybe 275 and hit at least 25 homers, that would be good for us with Frank Swindell. Next, returning, we have David Bote, who, before recording, just recently, he was put on the 60-day IL with a shoulder surgery. So David Bote is going to be out for a good period, which is a bummer, because he was going to play a good role, either starting or off the bench in utility fashion for the club. He did hit 8 homers, 35 RBI. Last year, his average was horrific. 199 under 200, which is very, very bad. Batting 199, not good. But you can only go up from that, I would assume. Can you bat 199 again? Probably not. It's probably hard to bat that poor. But we'll see when he returns off the IL. So for now, he will not be playing as of opening day. Next, we have longtime Cubby Gold Glover Rookie of the Year, Jason Hayward. And I know Hayward's bat has always been documented as not fantastic. He did bat in 104 games last year, 8 homers, 30 RBI, 215 average. So not that great. Hopefully he can improve. The main reason he's imported to the club is his excellent defense in the outfield. That's one of the reasons that Jason Hayward comforts the pitchers and comforts the rest of the defense, because he is very reliable out there in the outfield. He does still have a good amount of contract left, but hopefully that Jason Hayward can bat respectably this year. Finally, three other guys we have left to talk about who are returning: Rafael Ortega, 108 games, 11 homers, 33 RBI, 291 average. So he's an average, good infielder. Hopefully Ortega can continue those hitting numbers. He's not expected to be hitting 40 homers, 120 RBI, 300 average. But as long as Ortega can bat reasonably and play well, it'll be good. Next, we have Nick Madrigal, who's looked at to be future for the Cubs. He didn't play last year due to injury. But Madrigal, lots of pressure on him to be a star for the Cubs. So hopefully that Madrigal can make a name for himself and hop on the scene this season. And finally, last returning guy to discuss who could have a role is Sergio Alcantara. Outfielder, he hit decent numbers last year and will probably play in another bigger role, either off the bench utility fashion or due to injuries will be starting in the outfield here or there. So that's the Cubs' main returning hitters that are coming back this year. And one last one I want to discuss to go into is Nico Hoerner. Hopefully he can play a bigger role this season and hit well. I'm looking towards Nico Hoerner and playing well. And I'm not expecting him to hit fantastic, but long Nico Hoerner can be reasonable at shortstop, which is one of the most important defensive positions in the infield, I'll be comfortable with his production. And based on an overall little rundown of what the Cubs' depth chart would be, is first at catcher, we'll have Wilson Contreras, and then in off the bench, the backup, Yan Gomes, longtime Cleveland Guardian, longtime veteran. He's been around. Next to first base, Frank Swindell. Second base, we have Trent Jimbrone, who is a new person acquired. He is 175 pounds, 5.8, from almost 30 years old. So we'll see what he can do. Then Dave Bodey, who's injured, and then Nick Madrigal as well. Third base, Patrick Wisdom, man in the hot corner. And when he has to take days off or gets injured at certain points, Dave Bodie could fill that as well. Shortstop, we have Nico Hoerner and Sergio Alcantara. Left field, Ian Happ. Center field, Rafael Ortega. And Jason Hayward, Ian Happ occasionally. And then right field, Jason Hayward and Greg Dieckmann, a new acquiree, 28 years old, 6'2", 205 pounds, has some power. We'll see what Greg Dieckmann can do for the club. And now for pitching, I'll go over the pitching, and then I want to discuss the two people who have acquired that will be the most of note and biggest impact on the club. Those are for offensive purposes. Pitching, there's two acquirees too, who I'll discuss along with the returning pitchers. So first, in returning pitchers for the club of note, we have longtime Cub, now pretty much the ace, after John Lester, Jake Arrieta have departed. And that is Kyle Big Time Hendricks. Last year, he was 14-7 with a 4.77 ERA. Allowed 31 home runs, which is concerning. That's a lot of big flies. Especially because Hendricks is more of a ground ball pitcher, which is concerning. A lot of his pitches are being hit out of the park. Hopefully he can improve. That was his worst year of his career, 4.77 ERA. And he did not look good overall. But Kyle Hendricks has been unbelievably and fantastic during his Cubs career. So hopefully he can bounce back. Hopefully maybe a 3.5 ERA. That would be a place to start. Next we have Alec Mills, who's still very young. He did have one huge moment, and that was a no-hitter a few years ago when he no-hit the Milwaukee Brewers. He was 6-7, 5.07 ERA. So I don't know what Alec Mills is going to bring to the table besides his one fantastic no-hitter against the Brewers. He's been all over the place, inconsistent and limited pitching opportunities. Hopefully he can be a serviceable fourth or fifth starter this year. That's what I'm asking for him to be. I'm asking him to be the ace. Solanti can be serviceable, maybe a 4 year A as the fourth starter in decent appearances. Next we have who is injured, but he will play a role when he comes back from injury list, and that is Albert Alzolay. He was 5-13 with a 4.55 ERA last year. Alzolay, he was born 1995, so still under 30. Hopefully that Alzolay can show some good numbers this year. Hoping for him to be a good member of the club when he comes back from injury, which he was just put on recently, so he'll probably be out a while. Another person to discuss from last season was Justin Steele. He was 4-4 with a 4.26 ERA. Steele is a lefty, so he'll play an important role in the pitching rotation. And don't know a lot about Steele per se. He had some good stuff last year. We'll see what he can do in a full season. Another starter to discuss is longtime veteran. These are two guys who are coming to the team for the first time, so brand new acquisitions. And that is first Wade Miley, big time lefty. He's been in baseball for a long time. Wade Miley, 35-year-old veteran from Louisiana. He's been on the Diamondbacks, Reds, Red Sox, Brewers, Orioles, Astros, everywhere. Wade Miley has a good mix of pitches, and he is someone who brings experience to the club where a lot of these guys don't have experience, but Wade Miley does. And his last year numbers was 12-7 with a 3.37 ERA, which are very strong numbers. He was on the Reds too, which I don't know the home road splits, but if they were very good like this, he must have had good appearances at Great American Ballpark, which is one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in all baseball. So those were very strong numbers glancing at them. Finally, the last acquisition in pitching that we got, Kibatel of Hendricks for the ace spot. first starter is Blue Jay and New York Met. He has often been a fan favorite where he's ever gone. That is Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman had an excellent year last year for ERA, a little bit over 3. And he has 6 pitches that he goes to in his repertoire. A 4-seamer, 2-seamer, a cutter, curveball changeup, and a slider. So good amount of pitches that he can go to when he needs help. And his fastball is a little bit over 90 miles an hour, about 92, 93 on average for his 2-seamer and 4-seamer. His slider can be very nasty, and he also has a well-documented, very good changeup as well. Hoping Stroman's going to continue his success from last season. Very good numbers and very good record. His record is only 10-13, but the team was crap, so that's not his fault totally per se. But 3.02 ERA is fantastic. And if he could bring numbers along those lines here, it would be very good. And the bullpen, I'm just going to name some of the guys who will be on the bullpen. Not really talk about them, just name them. We're going to have Manuel Rodriguez, Michael Rucker, Cody Kier, Rowan Wick, Scott Efros, Adrian Sampson, Corey Abbott, and new acquisition, David Robertson. Dave Robertson's been all over. He's been on the Yankees, the Rays. He's been a very successful setup man, which maybe he could do that here. Setting up our closer, who, to be honest, I do not know who it's going to be at the moment. Not sure who our closer is going to be. Could it be Robertson? Maybe. But he didn't have that great numbers last year and has been injured. I can't tell you who is going to close at the moment, because we don't have some of the guys we had in the past. No more Chapman. No more Craig Kimbrell. We'll have to see who's going to be closing games when it matters. Now back to two final things to discuss. And hitters we've gotten. First, we got longtime veteran. He's been 4-time Gold Glove winner, one of the greatest defensive shortstops in the last decade. I'm a huge fan of him, and that's Andrelton Simmons. He's been on the Atlanta Braves since the beginning of his career. Then he went to the Los Angeles Angels. And it's fun, the two teams he's been on, Angels, two of the teams he's been on, Angels and Braves. I saw him play in person when he was on both of those teams, when I got to see the Giants face Braves and White Sox face the Braves. I saw Andrelton Simmons. And then when he left to go to the Angels, I saw the Angels play the Rangers and the White Sox twice, and he was on the team and played both games. So I've seen Andrelton Simmons in person probably like 5 times. So cool to see him on TV. And my goal is to go to see Cubs games this year, so I'll probably see him in person again. So that'd be fun. He easily could be of a road player, one of the most I've ever seen in person, which is just an interesting fun fact. Now we move to the big guy, the big acquisition, biggest of the season. He could be the biggest hitter on the team. This guy could be unbelievable if everything goes right. If he continues his amazing numbers and fantastic success coming over from Japan. And that is Seiji Suzuki, the 27-year-old. He signed for a 5-year, $85 million contract. More like $100 million though, because there was a $15 million posting fee from the MVP, the Nippon Professional Baseball League in Japan. So the Cubs got him for about 5 years, $100 million. And according to records, this is the 5th largest contract the Cubs have ever given out to a player, which is kind of hard to believe, to be honest. Some teams give out like $200, $300 million like candy, whereas the Cubs are a big market club and they've only given 4 contracts bigger than $100 million ever before, which is kind of hard to believe. And now for Mr. Suzuki's unbelievable numbers. So Mr. Suzuki, he played with the Hiroshima Toyo Carp, and he was a 4 in 9 years. He's a 4-time All-Star, 5-time MPB Best 9. He was a 3-time Gold Glove winner. Those are all fantastic numbers for Seihei Suzuki. The analysts love him. The professional people on ESPN, The Athletic, Bleacher Report, MLB.com have been raving about Suzuki. People have been saying, I know it's kind of like you talk about it too much, but he could be the next Ichiro, the next Shohei Ohtani, the next big thing. But we don't want to put that much pressure on him yet because he has not played a single game in professional baseball in MLB yet. But based on his numbers in Japan, I'm confident he's going to be good, hopefully. And including last year, he, in 2021, hit 38 home runs, 88 RBIs, and batted .317 batting average. And he had a fantastic on-base percentage, one of the best in the league. And his defense, including he won a Gold Glove and was All-Star that year as well, and Best 9 as well. So in 2021, he was fantastic. So definitely a good time for Seihei Suzuki to come over to the Cubs. And that's a little bit about his numbers and his career as a member of the Toyo Carp. Now a little bit about the lore and history of why he came to the Cubs. In early December, Jed Hoyer was in contact with Jeff Wolf, the agent for Seihei Suzuki, and Mr. Suzuki himself. And this was during the time when the lockout suddenly began and MLB was shut down for 99 days. And what was going on, Jed Hoyer, the president of Cubs Baseball, told the agent and Seihei Suzuki, "Don't forget about us. We'll be waiting for you." He told him that. And this definitely was very positive for Seihei Suzuki. And some of the things he really loved, according to insiders about his meetings with David Ross, the coach, Jed Hoyer, Dave Ricketts, was they respected him. They showed him respect, and they definitely were patient and waited for the availability to sign Seihei Suzuki to come over to the States. And Seihei definitely had a good rapport with David Ross. They had a really good relationship when they met, and he was very respected. And one of the people who he talked to for guidance and advice about was going to Chicago going to be a good fit and could it be a good fit was he talked to former Cub Yu Darvish, who's also from Japan, and he asked Yu Darvish what did he think of his time in Chicago, would he recommend it for someone coming from Japan. And Yu Darvish raved about his time in Chicago. He loved the city, loved the atmosphere, loved the team. He highly recommended it to Seihei. And Seihei said in a quote that Yu Darvish's guidance and thoughts played a big role in why he decided to choose the Cubs. Also, he visited the city, and some of the things he said about it was he loved the food, loved the atmosphere, felt very comfortable that him and his wife will be able to have a great time here in Chicago and live comfortably. And that's a little bit about how we were able to get Seihei Suzuki to come join the team. And one last fun quote before we wrap up this preview of the Chicago Cubs 2022 season is that when Seihei was introduced to the press, they asked him, why did he choose number 27? And Seihei, through the use of his translator, said that, "Mike Trout, I love you." So Seihei Suzuki has said that Mike Trout's his favorite player ever, and then he models his game after Mike Trout. He wants to be Mike Trout with the hitting, the defense, MVP caliber player, and that is why he chose number 27. And let's be honest, there are not many great players as good as Mike Trout, so why not choose number 27 if he is your idol? So, welcome to Chicago, Wade Miley, Anthony Simmons, Marcus Stroman, and Shohei Suzuki. Hopefully the Cubs can get off to a good start in the beginning of April and at least not play basement dweller or crap. As long as it can be decent, I'll be all right as a fan. So thank you for listening to this in-depth preview of the Cubs prospects for 2022, and see you next time in continuation of this episode for 96, which will continue with more after the break.
All right, we're back on the Bullet Hawk Sports Show, and we're going to get into the White Sox season preview. So White Sox will begin play just like their fellow Cubs in April. Looking forward to going to games in person, as we did most recently, 6 months ago.
Yeah, September. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've been able to go out to one, and our goal is to attend a Cubs game this year. But for now, it looks like we'll be able to go to both.
Yeah.
As the White Sox will also begin play for the new season. And this comes from, I'm sure if you mentioned during the Cubs coverage, that they'll be coming from this lockout.
Yeah.
So, you know, a slight delay. They should have been training for a while now. And so, yeah, they're
slight
basically
delay, yeah.
Their first few games will be spring training.
Yeah, spring training is going on right now, but a little bit shorter because oftentimes spring training is 6 weeks because players need a lot of time to adjust, get back into swing of things, pun intended.
Become
a
team again. You know?
Yeah, but now they only have 3 weeks, so they basically cut in half, but they're going to have to get ready to go.
Yeah, also seen like promotion for the Cactus League
mm-hmm.
game, and I know there's a crosstown matchup that wasn't going to occur here between the two teams.
Yeah, Cubs and White Sox are both in the Cactus League.
Yeah, so this year they'll be able to participate once again. I also have some hopes that we'll be involved once again in the, what was it, that famous game that was in that, like, that park. I believe it was based on the movie.
Oh, Field of Dreams?
Yeah. The Field of Dreams once again. That's just the scenery right there. But yeah, it looks like we continue with the same roster of guys. A consistent team we're looking out for to be off of last year. Continue with the success from yesteryear. And so, yeah, here to change the game, as MLB states.
Yes, so for the Sox, as you know, they made the playoffs last season for the 2021 season. Lost, sadly, in the first round to the eventual AL champions, Houston Astros. But hopefully this season, with a little bit more experience under the Sox's belt, they can at least win one playoff series.
That's right. Yeah, it was a very a big letdown to get eliminated that fast. It felt faster than it should have been. We had some high hopes.
Yeah.
But they need to capitalize on what they, again, success from before, and just build on that. That's all they can do for now. Minimal changes, as there wasn't anything necessary. And yeah, we still have the star players from 2021. It's looking good. We just need to see how they do in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so for starting five, the rotation is set in stone. This is as follows. Good, strong rotation. It's one of the best in the league. They have ace Lucas Giolito, Then we have longtime veteran, crafty lefty, Dallas Keuchel. Young up-and-comer, Dylan Cease. Longtime World Series champion, veteran, Lance Lynn. And finally, probably of the five guys, this is the only one that's on the bubble, so to speak. But even then, he looks locked and loaded as a fifth starter, and that is Ronaldo Lopez. We'll see if he can put some good, consistent numbers.
That's right.
Because some people did want Carlos Rodon, not Lopez, but Rodon ended up leaving to get a bigger deal elsewhere with the Giants. So we'll see if Lopez is able to take the reins and perform at least a 4 ERA this year.
That's right. Still young. So looking for some more contribution from him. And then on to more. Once again, all these players being unique. Now you said that Joe Kelly is the one veteran to that will be continuing on. Reliable.
Oh, yeah. The Sox bullpen, a lot of very reliable veterans. Former Cub and former Atlanta Brave, Craig Kimbrell.
That's so ironic.
Great setup man. He could close for loads of teams, but on this team, he is the setup man behind the Australian Liam Hendricks.
You'll call him the equivalent to the sixth man in the NBA?
Yeah, I would say so. Because the setup man, very important. Because you need a strong, reliable eighth man guy to get bridge the gap to the closer.
Their eighth man is like this is like the sixth man, right?
Yeah.
Because a bigger lineup.
Because in a realistic and like what you dream scenario, your starting pitcher goes 7 innings, your eighth inning guy comes in, shuts the door, and then the closer comes in and shuts the door, and it's over. That's what you're hoping for.
That's right.
And some other strong, good potential relievers we have are Garrett Crochet, Aaron Bummer, Joe Kelly, Jose Ruiz, Michael Kopech. He's the one I'm hoping for bigger things because he's been hurt a lot. His potential is still palpable. People are still like, Kopech! But we'll have to see if he can put it all together with a healthy campaign, knock on wood, this season. Right. So hopefully Kopech can bring it all together. Because people are hoping that he would take Ronaldo Lopez's spot if he is healthy, ready to go, and is able to put his repertoire in action. But we'll see. Ryan Burr, Matt Foster, Anderson Severino. And finally, this one's exciting. Longtime Phillies starter, recently a Padre, Vince Velasquez joins the South Side. And he's very good too because he's started many games. He can come in. Like, for example, one of the starters gets injured, he can easily take over and start games if need be. So definitely a guy who want on your depth chart.
Yep. While we're running this down, I'd like to also consider that I know we've discussed, you know, the last few months to bring back for a further in-depth analysis of this roster and get a third view, third look at this in our friend Julia.
Once yeah, again. We could definitely have her come on to talk about the Sox.
Yes.
She's come on twice, so we could definitely have her come on again.
Yeah, hint, hint for, you know, a near future episode.
I think that we could make that happen.
Yeah.
Bye. And we could definitely find someone else to come on and talk about the Cubs, too.
Yeah, that's right. I.E. Cassidy's mother.
Oh, yeah, Cassidy, her mom. Ross, yeah. We got a lot of
long-time
Cubs
fans,
people.
Which makes it legit. So, as we usually do with who we bring on, trusted insiders for that don't work in the industry, really.
Right.
Outside of Miami,
upstart. What's his name again?
Oh, Dave Martinez?
Yeah. Martinez, very good guy. Also, you know, he has the deets, you know, right? So, like, becoming, you know, a Marlin and things like that. And so, yeah, especially with our Chicago teams, we trust that, you know, that we have, like, some valuable friends, insiders, whatever you want
to call it. He's down in minor league sprint training right now with the Marlins team, so that's cool.
That's really cool.
Now so for...
Feels like forever since we've done...
Yeah, that's like in June. Now for offensive guys. This one's pretty straightforward. A lot of these guys are locked and loaded from last season. Not a lot of changes. Catcher is Monty Grandal. Great hidden catcher. Good leader behind the plate. Zach Collins. He still hasn't really made a name for himself yet, but we'll see. First base. We got a recent MVP winner, Jose Abreu. One of the best first basemen in the league. Second base. Just signed this season, Josh Harrison. He's a good signee because he can play all over the infield. Short, third, second, first. He can play all over. Dependable bat. Veteran. Third base, Yoan Moncada. One of my favorites on the team. He's very good. Shortstop, Tim Anderson. One of the best shortstops in the American League. And I want to give a shout-out to, there's a brand new Tim Anderson documentary on NBC Sports Chicago.
Already coming up, already released.
I think it was already released or coming up.
Yeah. I mean, they, logically speaking, already came out because they did promote, they simply put, like, you know, go to youtube.com/ White Sox to, you know, to watch.
But I think it's about Tim Anderson's, like, life story and history, I want to say.
You know, inspirational, to say the least. There's a good reason why, you know, I said that while we're just tuned into the Bulls game right now, you know, tough matchup we just had. We found some light in that. And also comparing, there's no comparison, but, like, just hope that it is as good as that mini doc on the Bulls channel of legendary announcer, no one like him. Come back, Neil Funk. Neil Funk. I hope it's as in depth and as good of, you know, 20-minute movie like that. So, it also brings to mind, like, to Muggsy Bogues. You know, hopefully we come out of that like learning more about, you know, behind you know, this young player. So, yeah, what got him in? You know, we don't know his complete story, but you know, he is definitely one of those that you want to get to know, so I'd like to check that out.
Now moving on for outfield, we have Eloy Jimenez. Great hitter, one of my favorite on the team. His defense is still improving, but Eloy Jimenez, if he can put it together this year, definitely a force to be reckoned with. And center field, he could be the face of MLB soon. Luis Robert. Huge fan of Luis Robert. He has all the tools. Speed, glove, bat. All the tools that you want for a star. Right field. This is the one that varies depending on matchups and different scenarios. But the guys right now in right field are Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets, Luis Garcia, Adam Engel. One of those four guys will be playing. And we have some guys that could DH too. Gavin Sheets right now is probably going to be the designated hitter. But it could be Jimenez or Abreu. But most of the time, Gavin Sheets probably. But we have good depth on outfield with players such as Garcia and Engel, especially having opportunities. And most experts in the league predict the White Sox will win the AL Central this season. And now the hope is that they can win in the American League Division Series and move on to the Championship Series, which is the goal that the team set.
That's right. Definitely already they look like a championship team. I know what you would react to that saying right now, but based on the last few years, it's amazing to see that the Sox once again has climbed since 05. You know, obviously the famous year they've last won. So it shows a lot of promise and the progress that they've made. Nothing to scoff at, as they say, right? So, like, just carry the momentum. You know, we're looking for that victory. It can be done.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not a drought by any means. Like, it's very still recent, you know. Still, 05 may feel like, you know, many years.
Well, may feel like we're playoff series drought because they haven't won since then. But
right, even the playoffs, too. So,
yeah.
Up until the last few years, right? So, like, we're not in the drought. You know, the Cubs, they had a massive drought.
Yep, we did.
You know, talk about century.
Oh, yeah, over 100 years, yeah.
That's incredible. It's like the fact that it's been around for so long and deep history, right? Like,
at least it ended.
You know, especially they've been around longer than the Sox, technically.
At
the same time.
They're both around, like, yeah. Both really old.
Yeah, both, you know, the first...
One of the
teams
first.
And obviously for us we can say that. So yeah, like it can be done, you know. A lot of things, moving pieces, we have those pieces, have one of the best rosters in the entire league.
Oh yeah, easy.
So yeah, so will it be a shoe-in? Possibly. We just have
bear an injury or consistency, right? Okay, so
like we've have not already said, right? Like those factors. But yeah, we look forward to this season being present at a game or two. This is our year.